participating in this show is giving so much wisdom and so much inspiration and encouragement to the world by doing this. And I think this is like a very small nuclear bomb, you know. It's small, but it's not, because it will spread to the world. And even the people who don't know about this or who have never known about this might be, well, will be affected by it. And so it's a very important show, I think. And what I'm trying to do is to do some games that people can participate in, and through participation, they can. Than trying to stop war.
Do you think that art is a way to
yes, definitely. I think that art is the only thing that is remaining now that could change the world. And it's not the politicians, it's not the lawyers, and it's not the business people, because their mind is doing something other than creating creating world peace. And to create world peace, we have to have love for it. And we artists are creating our work with love. We are giving love to the world through our work. And that's the most important thing, because the world now needs love the most, because it is a very dying world now, in a spiritual sense. And it is more cluttered with material goods, but not in our spirit. And we are carrying the spirit and reminding people that
you feel that now in the like a young artist, this sentiment of another time things about this kind of important
drama.
Religion all
rings.
Ripple
Rippland Dinklas Village.
Rispa.
Rivendell.
Riverbank.
Rotan.
Island of the Rock.
Rock Island.
Roja.
Romance.
Roman State.
Rome.
Roman Town.
Rome Capone.
Ruth Tabaga County.
Rose.
Wilson's Island. Thank you. of Shadow.
City of Shadows.
Shangri-La.
Shardik's Land.
Sharpened Isle.
Ja, hallo, hier ist heute eine Sendung zur Biennale in Venedig und hier im Studio begrüßen Sie und euch Felicia Herrschaft.
Adrian Williams.
Okay, Laura, please. Ja.
Und Brack Reiser.
Okay, wir haben jetzt im Hintergrund das Dawn von From Dusk Till Dawn gehört und wer und ein Teil der Serentia-Sendung auf der Utopia, in der Utopia-Station der Biennale in Venedig und es wird verschiedene Interviews geben und wir fangen jetzt direkt an mit dem Interview mit Michael Rofner, dem israelischen Pavillon.
Culture plates,
yeah.
Tabiot,
yeah.
Culture, and And in those cultural plays, you could see hundreds of human figures in different interactions and in different modes of behavior.
Yeah.
They're very anonymous and the space is not known, but you know there is something there which is a, of course, it's touching issues of the whole concern of, you know, biology, germs, biotechnology, you know, even what are we in this universe, you know, our role in the universe, maybe. And, you know, it's some kind of an intense look at something, like a researcher would do.
Yeah. And would you say that this picture looks more like, imagine public space or public sphere? Is there a relation
to public,
culture plates and...
They're all in a in public, they are all in public spaces in the sense that nothing is hosted in a home, you know, nothing from the works exists in
it. But it's a no place at the same time. I mean, you don't, you cannot identify the place.
Yeah.
The place are completely erased from any kind of belonging or identity. They are completely in a no man's place.
Yeah.
And the people makes the place, the action of the people, the movement, and it's a happening almost in a way.
Happening not necessarily in a good sense, but there's something happened.
Yeah.
Something is going on and you're not sure really what is going on.
It's a movement, but the movement is non-identical in a way.
You don't know this, it's not a narrative, there is no a story.
Yeah.
But you see from the movement of the people that something, you know, you can, it's left a lot to the imagination of the viewer, and you can relate to all kind of getting together, gatherings, and...
running away from getting
away,
together.
Or it can be an explosion, or it can be in an amphitheater, or it can be in a... in a ritual which we don't know even its game or its sources. So it comes from, it's almost abstract, although it's completely figurative.
Yeah.
And using human figure, she's able, and I think this is one of the greatness of Michal, that she's able to let it open and to let it to so much different interpretation at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's, you don't know even if it was shot in Russia, but it doesn't really show anything that you can identify the place where it was shot, or the way people are dressed, or the rituals that they are carrying on. You don't know.
Yeah, the way that people go around, which is there, is a meaning for any kind of...
There is some central theme to the show, which is order and disorder. You know, in fact, I call it against disorder, question mark, and against disorder, question mark.
Yeah.
And you know, there is that assumption that, you know, some order would help to prevail, you know, in some situations. And sometimes it's the disorder which is the right thing. And and anyway, it's the... A lot of my work in the past had to do with the groups. Situations, and the one individual which is being taken into a group situation and then losing identity.
Yeah, interesting is that they are walking around in this, like as if they have this roundness. This Kreisförmigkeit. Then, like the culture plate.
Yeah.
If the people walk around like a culture plate, they can get out of the culture plate. Is this kind of...
I mean, there is the round. The round is also a loop, you know, because my work is always, I think, in a loop. Even if it's a film, there is that kind of beginning goes to the end. Because there is maybe movement, but there's no change, you know. It is that kind of, the narrative always can be tied to the beginning to the end. And it's a little bit like a clock. It is about, you know, the that, you know, there is no real story going on. also looks like an X and a Y, which are
basic
chromosomes or basic formula in mathematics, you know, and in chemistry, you know, in geometry, whatever.
Yeah, that's very interesting. But so it's so abstract that you would not say there's any religious symbol or metaphor.
You can take it any way you want. I mean, but the work itself does not imply anything specific.
Yeah.
The work is open to, and I think that erasing is a very much a big part of what Michal is doing, because she takes her video and then she works on it. And one of the biggest parts that she does after she takes the video is really to erase it.
Yeah.
To a level which it becomes almost like a conceptual drawing or something of this kind.
Yeah.
So it's not only a video, but she treats the video as a material by which she is able to turn it into a language or to notations, something which is like a text with notations, and the human body and the human getting together, it becomes like a sentences, as you will see it more in time left, when they become all really one long, long sentence, like a big text.
Yeah.
So the erasing of the identity of the people and the place is part of the form of any specific context is very important in all of work.
Okay. And maybe if you like to go upstairs, is there an architectural sense here in this building for you?
You know, I've done a few pieces that were completely tailored for an architectural building before. You know, it's something that I do. I did it at the Aesthetic Museum. I did it in New York at Chase Manhattan Bank when I did something specific really for... I always take the space in consideration, but I cannot say that this is an architectural piece.
Okay.
But you know...
No sense,
It is designed to... I created something, an environment that would be very simple and basic, that would remind a laboratory. You know, the very basic stuff that you need. You need a table, you need a Petri plates. You need some light in the room.
Mm-hmm.
There is no projection, there is no other art object as such. And
that's
actually all there is. It's very
that you have
this mysterious. It's a laboratory.
And
in the laboratory there is this Petri plates, culture plates. And it's all, you know, they look like germs, but it's all people, actually, all of them.
Yeah, it's really critical utopian view. Yeah, this is really, I think, this kind of criticness to have people here in the Petri to get this is what I would say is a negative sense of utopia.
I don't know if it's negative. I found it sad. I found it in a way like people in a lab, people under inspection, people in observation, because it is a laboratory in a lab. When you observe, you observe a human being, but you can take it in a positive or even optimistic level, because the behaviorism and trying to analyze people behavior and the way they react and act. And this is what it's all about. I mean, it's acting and reacting and creating. So, but putting it under a microscope or under a lab dish to be observed is a very, it's playing God. It's playing something very, playing in a very scientific way. You know better than the people that are under observation.
Yeah.
So it is in a way all of us a dictatorship way that she, but she wouldn't like this, because she again thinks that it is a lab which is very open. It's not really taking you to optimistic or pessimistic or critical or non-critical way of society.
Kind of reflection.
But there are also societies. I mean, it's a kind of a group of But you know, when the Impressionist painted the first time, and Monet painted the people going in the street from the fifth floor looking down,
yeah,
the people looked like exactly like this little yes.
Yeah.
So right. it was criticized that he painted people like little bees or little I think it's our time, and I think that you have to think a lot about 11th of September and of this kind of a new observation on people's behaviorism, a new look at people getting together, and all our new scientific trial and error on the floor of genetic planning and all this stuff. So it exists, and it's very part of our society.
Yeah.
And, but she's not relating it in a literary way. It's a metaphorical way.
Yeah.
Let's remember that she's not really taking
kind of
any position, and much more giving the facts, and you can do with it whatever you want.
Yeah, like a reflexive module for maybe people who are working in a laboratory.
Right. It's a language, and she used the language of the lab in order to serve.
Or maybe for people who have this view on from a skyscraper to people.
That's true. I have to make a stop of. I did listen here. What you said.
Okay.
I have to make a stop because we're holding the team for making the projectors.
Ah.
Okay. Now I have to let them. Moti, יש לך איזושהי הערה על הכניסה, על הקרדיט ועל הכל כמות שלך?
US, how did you decide for this Israeli pavilion?
I didn't decide. In this case, the committee was in charge, which is on this pavilion, chose Michal, the artist, and the Michal chose the curator.
Ah, okay. So
this was the story.
Sorry, okay.
That's the Israeli way of doing business.
Yes.
The other way
around. Yeah, that's cool.
Okay.
Okay, and so that's why I knew now here from New York and the Israeli pavilion.
Yes.
So
I was born in Israel and I live in New York a lot and work there, but I also go to Israel often. And Professor Omer was my teacher in the academy. I also know his work from the. He writes every year a few boxes, you know.
Okay.
He's doing a lot of things
so
that
really
you cannot ignore. So I, out of respect for him, I asked him to come and do this.
Yeah.
And many of the things were shot in Israel. Not all of them. Part of them.
Some.
Yeah.
Some of them were shot in Israel. Some of them in Russia. Some in Poland. So.
Yeah.
I mean, the place where the crime takes place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ja, das war jetzt ein Interview mit Michal Rovner aus dem israelischen Pavillon der Biennale in Venedig. Jetzt haben wir noch einen neuen Gast, nämlich Kerstin Schmelker, die auch bei dem Projekt der Kunsthochschulen in Venedig dabei gewesen ist, wie eben auch Adrian. Und ich weiß nicht, Barak, warst du da auch dabei?
Nein.
Nein, okay. Und der Titel war da ja Recycling the Future. Also vielleicht könnt ihr kurz was dazu sagen, inwiefern dieses Konzept sich realisiert hat.
Soll ich was sagen?
Wenn du magst.
Naja, ich glaube, ich habe das eher so verstanden als einen Titel, den man halt nimmt, weil möglichst viel reinpasst. Das ist halt so ein Titel, der ganz viel sagt und aber eigentlich gar nichts sagt, um eine Ausstellung zu machen, wo man alles zeigen kann.
Und was genau hast du dann gezeigt dort?
Ich habe eine Zusammenarbeit gemacht mit der Nora Schulz, die heute leider nicht kommen konnte. Und es war so eine performative Arbeit mit einer Kamera Obscura, die wir eigentlich davor gemacht haben und dann bei der Ausstellung Dokumentationsfotos davon präsentiert haben. So. Also Recycling im Sinn von Aufnahme von Bildern, wenn man so will, oder die Kritik daran.
Ah ja, okay. Und deine Arbeit?
Also ich habe eigentlich was für die Radiostation Utopia gemacht. Ich habe eine Wetterstation da aufgebaut von Grillen.
Mit Crickets, also Grillen. Genau, also Crickets. Du hast nicht gegrillt, sondern das waren Grillen. In dem Garten von Arsenal bis Giardini. Mhm. Zoe, hallo.
Die Zoe ist auch dabei heute.
Ja. Und was ist mit den Grillen passiert? Also die sollten ja eigentlich das Wetter vorhersagen.
Genau, weil sie kaltblütig sind und sehr bestimmte Beziehungen haben zur Temperatur und ihr Geräusche, der Rhythmus von ihr Geräusche zählt die Temperatur. Und diese Nummer, diese Temperatur, habe ich zum Radiostation geschickt und die haben das ausgesprochen.
Genau, die haben es dann immer gesagt, ja. Ah ja, und dann sind ja, wenn man sich überlegt, Recycling the Future, diese Grillen sind ja tatsächlich dann alle...
Ja, die sind wieder in die Landschaft.
Die Landschaft entflohen.
Genau.
Und das, was ich da realisieren sollte, also an das Biotop wahrscheinlich, Venedig hat sich dadurch wahrscheinlich schwerwiegend verändert für die Zukunft, könnte man meinen. Okay, bevor wir jetzt gleich ein Interview haben, nämlich mit Giuliamo, der die für das Contemporary Archive zuständig ist, werden wir noch ein Stück spielen. Und zwar, das musst du kurz ankündigen. Ja, sag, weißt du, was es ist?
Ja, das ist ein CD, so ein Lied.
Ja.
Vom Computerprogramm geschrieben von einem Bekannten von mir.
Also, du willst nicht den Namen sagen?
Ich darf nicht, okay. Eigentlich.
Na dann. Okay, dann hören wir es jetzt und gucken, wenn wir angerufen werden. Vergessen zu sagen, dass Barak jetzt der Diktator ist, Diktator unserer Betrachtung, oder? Da wir nicht genau wissen, ob jetzt direkt der Anruf kommt, glaube ich, hören wir ganz kurz noch in das Interview rein von Shirana Shabasi und ja, und machen gleich weiter. Willst du was sagen, Barak?
In Bezug auf was?
In Bezug auf was? Keine Ahnung. In Bezug auf die Diktatur, die du hier ausübst.
Okay. Noch nicht.
Noch nicht. Okay, bis gleich. So, hello, Giuliano.
Hello.
Yeah, okay, we can hear you. Yeah, you have to say your last name. It's Trampoli or?
Daempoli, Daempoli.
Okay, that's great, because I wasn't sure if I spell it right. And the next question is, you created the 99 Every Idea But One, two?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so the question is now we have today Philip Dagen,
mm-hmm.
an art critic, and tomorrow Lars Bay, broken architect.
Okay.
How did you choose this kind of critics, architects, psychologists, writers, architects, journalists for this 99 Every Idea But One?
You know, the most interesting thing about Biennale is that it's an institution that deals with there's a child there.
Yeah, we have a child. He has a studio.
I can hear him.
Yeah, he has some students from this art food recycling the future in the studio, and this is our recycled future.
I like this very much. The greatest thing about Biennale is that it's an institution that deals with all different forms of art, because of course we deal with contemporary art, and if you want, our main competitor could be Kassel in Germany from this point of view, but we also deal with movies, and we have a film festival, and we have a dance, a theater, and a music festival, and we have a Biennale of Architecture. So the most interesting thing is about Biennale is this thing, multidisciplinarity. And so during
Multidisciplinarity.
Okay. So the thing that we wanted to do this year during the 4 months of Francesco's exhibition, I think you already spoke with Francesco Bonami, did you?
We will have an interview with him in 30 minutes.
Okay. And,
he's in Chicago.
During his show, we wanted to bring together people from all kinds of different backgrounds, and they come to the Arsenale, they visit the exhibition, and at the end of the day, at 5:00 every day, they meet the public, because, as you know, the title of the exhibition this year is The Dictatorship of the Viewer.
Yeah.
So the viewer is the dictator, and he has the opportunity every day to meet somebody with a different background who also saw the show and who will just confront ideas and impressions about the exhibition. That's it.
May I ask something?
Yeah.
Yeah. If the viewer is
Adrian?
I'm Adrian. If the viewer is taking on the role of the dictatorship, what do you see your role?
I can't hear you well, I'm sorry. I can't
louder.
Hear you at all.
Okay.
Louder?
Yeah. If the viewer is taking on
can
the position of dictator, can you hear me?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, I'll try on this one. If the viewer is taking on the position of dictator, what do you see your position as transferring into? What would your position then be if you are no longer the dictator of the exhibition?
I think probably in Francesco Bonanni's view, and so what happened this year is that the curators are no longer absolute dictators. I mean, they just try to show a whole different range of perspectives about contemporary art today. But there's no longer one monocratic curator who is who imposes his vision upon the public. There are different 12 different curators, and each one of them, of course, each one of them is still a dictator because he still imposes his vision. But there's no longer one single curator who is the absolute ruler of the show.
Would you say that this has become more of a diplomatic or democratic type
I would say
of
it's
position?
A kind of federalistic biennale. You know, you in Germany probably can understand this. It's a federal biennale. We have different kinds of autonomous powers and of autonomous entities who just live one beside the other. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have a little dictator here in the show too. So Baruch, do you have a question?
Yeah,
he's our dictator. But he is not able to ask. Really? It's like the viewer who has no opinion anymore. Yeah, you can say.
I mean, you could bring him to Venice. Probably he would have fun with the videos and the games that are there. You know, you could try. We also have a lot of children coming to the Biennale.
Venice, can you, not all children here.
Can you tell us about any further developments since the opening of the Biennale? What has come out of the Biennale over the past few months, and what will it transition into in the next few months?
I think this year we have made an effort to make a living Biennale throughout the 4 months of the exhibition, and that's a big difference with the past editions of this exhibition, because in the past you had a big show, a kind of big boom during the vernissage, so 3 or 4 days, the whole art world coming from all over the world and having parties and talks and conferences and everything, and then it was just all over, and the exhibition was still going on for 4 months, but it was kind of dead, you know. People came and saw it, and that was it. This year we are trying, but not only us, also, for example, in Utopia Station with Hans-Ulrich Obrist and Molly Nesbitt, they are trying, and we are all trying together to keep the Biennale alive during the whole period, and probably also later, because a big part of this exhibition will travel around the world. We will have a part of the this year Biennale that will go to São Paulo in Brazil. We will have other parts of the exhibition.
Which part will be going to São Paulo?
The part that is which is in the Museo Correr, which is a retrospective from Rauschenberg to Murakami. Mm-hmm. It's a retrospective of the last 40 years of Biennale. It's a big exhibition, and it is going to São Paulo, I guess, in November, something like this. So, and other parts will travel around Italy, in the south of Italy, where there's not much tradition of contemporary art. So we're trying to spread this Biennale here.
Okay.
Okay.
We one moment. We had in the dictatorship of the viewer. Do you want to say?
No, I just want something to say
it's
concerning
our
the viewer. Can what do you think about the viewer? Can he see the whole thing? Can he see the whole exhibition, or is it not so important? Like, the exhibition is quite big, and maybe it's only about stories. That if you are there, people say what they see in. It's kind of a conglomerate that you and in the end will just see part of it. Like, is it important to be really a dictator, or maybe the viewer does not really have this opportunity to be a dictator because he can't see everything anyway?
Yes, of course. I mean, the exhibition is huge. The Arsenale is a huge place, and the Giardini, you have a whole range of national pavilions. So it's a huge thing. If you want to see it all, you have to spend probably 1 week in Venice, of course. But that's always has been the case. I mean, it was the case also in the past editions. So this year the difference is that Bonami didn't want to you know, usually if you get into the Arsenale, where the main exhibition is taking place, it's such a huge place that you feel totally overwhelmed. You have the feeling that you will never be able to see it all. And this
so it's
year,
like a task that you can you cannot be a dictator also if he wants to be.
Of course, it's very difficult to be a dictator anyway. But this year we've tried to do a different thing because we've tried to divide the Arsenale. It's not just one huge exhibition, it's several smaller exhibitions, and so you as a viewer have much more opportunities to choose what you're interested in. I mean, you can choose, of course you probably can't see it all. It's very difficult to see it all, but you can choose much more than you could in the past, because you know that there are different sections and you can choose whatever you're interested in.
Yeah, but in the end you will just remember a walk from the whole scenario, two walks in the end.
I mean, it's huge. It has always been, so of course. But that's the format of the exhibition. That's why Biennale is, with Kassel, the most important contemporary art show in the world. It's big. But that's nothing new. It has always been this way.
Yeah, the Kassel Documenta 11.
Yeah.
It was Bonami and Birnbaum, they said it was a blockbuster with such a lot of artists, but on the Documenta there were only 120 artists, in on the Biennale there are over 348, I think, artists.
Only in the Utopia Station there's like 200 artists.
No, 80. 80?
No, the posters.
Only 80.
All the posters, they have like 100.
Okay, with the posters 100, yeah. So the question is, the next time we will make the making of the next blockbuster. Or, because I think it's not, it's maybe that's why they have this concept of the viewer, because it's not possible to see really everything of this blockbuster, maybe.
Yeah, no doubt at all. You know, personally, I'm in favor of selection because I'm much concerned with the overdose of information and of artists and of everything. So I'm in favor of selection too.
Yeah.
No doubt about this. And I don't think that the next Biennale could be bigger than this one. I don't think that we should every 2 years just add new numbers and new artists, and it would be a mess. So no doubt about this. But I think that, of course, there's a huge number of artists this year. But the reason is because there's such a wide range of curators and of perspectives who have works and who have joined in realizing this Biennale. So, of course, everybody in a certain way wanted to present his vision and his favorite artist. And so, of course, it's bigger, no doubt about this. But I do also think that probably it's... I insist, in my opinion, it's easier to read. If you also, I don't know if you had the opportunity to see the catalog of this year's exhibition, but if you had this opportunity, you should have noticed that it's much more easy to read than the past catalogs were, because it's divided in different sections, and every one of them has its own identity and its own philosophy, and so you can, of course, the whole is huge, but if you dig into it, It requires a certain effort, but if you do it, you will see that it's not difficult to understand. You can follow the path.
I would like to take a step back. Can we take a step back to the number of artists showing in the Biennale this year? The amount of artists showing in the pavilions, the individual pavilions, seldom changes. On average, I suppose it's one or two artists every year in each pavilion. Yeah. Why do you suppose that this ratio, what is the effect of this ratio for each individual country in terms of representation? I mean, each pavilion could also host seven or eight artists. Why do you suppose they limit that to one or two?
I think it's probably a problem of impact. You know, every country just wants to make maximum impact during the Biennale, and so they operate a very very tight selection process, and they just try to invest on one or two or three artists and try to give them maximum visibility. I think it's a good strategy.
And do you suppose that you have just as strong of an impact in the large exhibition spaces, such as Arsenale and the Italian Pavilion?
Of course, it's always the same thing. I mean, I'm sure that this multiplicity of artists probably wasn't good for the individual visibility of each artist. And probably some artists could have suffered, because if you are immersed in such a big show, you can be lost. No doubt about it. But as I told you, this year's philosophy was presenting different points of views and different exhibitions. So if you go, for example, in the section that was curated by Huan Ru, the Chinese curator, he curated a very interesting part of the exhibition, and it's all about cities in the Far East. The main theme of his space is about metropolitan living in the Far East. And if you go into the space, you will feel totally overwhelmed by the presence of a whole different range of pieces of art. But the interesting thing is that the exhibition is a piece of art in itself. I mean, it's a complex. The individual works kind of lose themselves into the complex vision of the curator. So. Yeah. I think it's interesting. I mean, it's you should see it, and I know this year we had a lot of critical approaches to this exhibition, and probably Francesco Bonami will be much better placed than I am to answer to those critics. I mean, I'm just I'm just curating a lateral event.
Yeah. Tonight, Philip Dagen?
Yes.
At 5 o'clock.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you. The next time's every day, 5 o'clock.
Every day at 5 o'clock.
And the last question, your profession for making this kind of...
I'm a writer, so I'm a kind of outsider into Biennale's structure, because I'm a writer. They wanted somebody who could connect art themes with other fields of knowledge. So that's why I was put in charge of this series of lectures.
Okay. Yeah, we have to look now if we have this interview with Bonami and with Hans-Ulrich Obrist, and so... Yeah, thank you very much for calling us from Switzerland, yeah?
Great.
What are you doing in Switzerland?
I'm half Swiss. My mother is Swiss, so I'm half Swiss.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank
See you.
You.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh.